Oh, man, what a fast night. How about the special topic line, campfire, scary stories? That's 818-817-0021. I'll be back. We'll take your calls for the rest of the hour on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Another hour, and it shall go by quickly. Wildcard line, take it away. Hi there.
Hi, this is Lance from Topeka.
Hey, Lance.
It's nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
Yeah. The Jayhawk Theater seems to be haunted.
Really?
Yes.
What happened over there?
Well, long ago, a man fell down an elevator shaft and was impaled on the springs.
Oh, God.
You know, and he had to sit there for hours before they pulled him off and he died. Right. And then in the 30s, a man jumped off of a balcony after stabbing his lover's boyfriend. And the boyfriend jumped off. He tried to run because the crowd thought that he was the one who had committed the crime.
Since he was the victim.
The balcony.
Oh.
He was the victim, but the crowd chased him down, and they tore his arm off as he jumped off the balcony, and he died.
They tore his arm off?
Yes, yes.
Lance, what kind of a group was out there?
These were people in a movie theater watching a film.
What do you mean there were people in a movie theater watching
okay,
a film?
Okay, okay, okay. One man stabs another.
Right, in the theater.
Right. Okay. The perpetrator jumps off the balcony trying to get away. He falls on the crowd below, breaking shoulders, and he's arrested later.
All right.
Okay, but before that happens... Before he's arrested, you know, the crowd thinks the perpetrator is actually the victim. And the victim tries to run away because he's been stabbed. And the crowd grabs him by his stabbed arm as he falls off of the skywalk between the two buildings.
I thought you said he just got arrested.
No, the perpetrator got arrested.
Oh, okay.
And the victim... got his arm torn off and died.
Oh, my gosh. So you think these things are haunting, these entities are haunting the place?
No. I am not available to be sensitive to such things. You know, I just prefer to pray about it and ignore the spirit.
What kind of hauntings? Lance, what kind of hauntings are going on out there?
Oh, there's a room in the building, okay, and I'm not supposed to... Okay, there's a room in the building called the Senate Room, and things are rearranged. Things are rearranged when they set them up. A woman has been seen in the lobby by my 30-year-old friends. You know, 30-year-olds, these aren't little girls or anything. And they come away all freaked out because they've seen a woman. A man who just 2 days ago fell off the third floor. He fell off the third floor just 2 days ago by coincidence. This is the same man, just coincidence. He saw in the early morning while he was drowsy the same thing. The woman is a third case from that portion of the building. The two that I'm concerned with are the ones that the paranormal investigators came to talk about. And that was so cool. They recorded hush whispers from the background when they challenged the spirit, saying they were going to move in and stay there.
They've got some EMP sounds?
Yeah.
we got to hear that. We got to hear that. We're going to put you on hold, and you can give us some information on that. Let's go to our campfire hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing today, Art?
Sorry. It's not Art, but it's George. It's okay. It's Art's show.
Been
it's me.
Been on People hold do for that. A while.
Yeah, about 10 years, right?
Yeah, I got a strange story for you. Now, I don't know what it is, and I don't know what it was, and I don't offer any explanations, but I'm in Sioux Falls, and there's some trails out here, bike trails, and I walk my dog on them at night because she's a Rottweiler boxer mix. She can be kind of aggressive sometimes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I walked her at night. Well, me and the wife, we walked this one specific trail all the time. And about 5 years ago, I started hearing some rustling sounds. I didn't think much of it, you know, wiped it off as a rabbit or beaver or something. You know, it's right next to the water. Didn't think it was a whole lot of anything, really. The next day, one of the guys that works in the building next to me, I started messing with him a little bit, and I got him to go out there with me to investigate. But we pulled up on this trail, and right off the bat, what we seen was three pieces of stick set in an arrow pointing, you know, forward from where we were, with three pieces of candy next to it. Well, there's a lot of other people that go to these trails, so I wiped it off immediately as being, you know, some kids or something. Sure. Earlier in the day. And I decided to mess with my buddy a little bit, and I told him, oh, there's probably a dead body up there or something. We're supposed to find it, you know, paranormal crime investigators or whatever, you know. Well, anyway, long story short, we walked down this trail, and the whole time we walked down this trail, there was a rustling 4 o'clock to the right of us, just behind us, and it was always to our 4 o'clock. And, of course, we came back, and walking back down the trail, I had this odd feeling that arrow was going to be changed. And for some reason, I don't know why, I just figured it was going to be changed. When we got back, that arrow had changed directions, and it was pointing at a weeping willow tree on the other side of the river.
Hmm.
We went up over this bridge right there to get to the other side of the river by this weeping willow tree, and, of course, you know, we didn't see nothing right off the bat, and we must have heard a beaver or something jump in the water, so we walked down by the water to look. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have a mag flashlight, just like the ones the cops have.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, my buddy Don, he turns around and looks at me, and he's flushed white. I mean, just white as a ghost. And I was like, you know, what's your deal? And I turned around and looked at this weeping willow tree. And I thought to myself, I thought, wow, that's a weird shape for a weeping willow tree. And I took that mag light and I shined it at the tree. And what I saw just blew me away. It was 5 years ago when this happened, and it's vivid in my memory. There was something standing there in a silver jogging outfit with a charcoal stripe from shoulder to shoulder. And the weird thing was, it had its left foot would have been planted at the base of the tree, and the left hand was on the limb of the tree. The right hand was extended out towards us, and it was leaning towards us. When I turned that flashlight to it, it had no hands and no feet, and the face was black as night.
What was it?
I don't know. The weird thing was the yellow lights and like where the eyes would be.
Yeah.
And you know, it had like a hood. The hood was up, but you know, when you pull the strings tight, a hood usually goes around a person's face.
Exactly. If you have a round face.
Shape. Yeah.
Was it a robot?
Angular shape. You know, I came up with two different things. Either A, we were dealing with something that was dead at one point in time, or, you know, a spirit of some sort, or an alien. And I don't know what it was. This obsessed me for like 3 or 4 weeks. In that amount of time, me and my friend took a couple of our other friends down there and played around with this.
Well, you got to tell me what happened to this creature.
Well, it continued to kind of show itself, not really like, you know, come out or nothing, but just kind of continued to toy around with us. It culminated till the last night that we went down there. And me and my buddy were in a band, so we took the band members down there thinking we were going to scare them real bad, you know. We ended up scaring the tar out of ourselves. what we found was the night before, the last night we went down there, I thought it was leaving weird marks, like you know what a stick man looks like?
Yeah.
It was a vertical line of a stick man with the two stick legs on the bottom. But where the stick arms would be, they were both on the right side of it with no head. That was the symbol that it left on the tree, and it was leaving maiden sticks at the base of this weeping willow tree.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, I was like, you know, it must be trying to communicate. So I went and made a stick man inside of a square, and we took the band guys down there. We were going to scare them with that, you know. I got down there, and that square that I made out of sticks was turned into a triangle, and my stick man was turned into that symbol. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit at first, and then we went walking down another trail, and when we were coming back, we seen the backside of that exact same jogger uniform just take off right in front of us. I mean, lightning fast. It just took off. I mean, it was running, but you didn't hear any, you know, footsteps or nothing.
You didn't see any craft around with this thing, did you?
No, we didn't see any craft or nothing, but And the weird thing was the way it took off, and we kind of went up to where it looked like it was standing, and we turned around, and in the trees was a clearing, and there was a it was like parts of a tree, like way bigger than the symbols it was leaving. And there was this parts of the tree were in the same shape as that same symbol, but the weird thing was there was hunks of meat laying around it, like almost like it was like pork flesh, you know what I mean?
Well, maybe it was mutilating cattle and things like that in that area. I think it sounds like it was some kind of strange robot from someplace. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, man, it's me, Word. Good morning,
it
George.
It's all you.
How you doing today, my friend?
Great, great.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm a first caller. First of all, man, I'm 19 years old. I'm from Bristol, Connecticut. Small town.
Small town. Great city though.
Yeah, great city though. Home of ESPN. There we go.
Yep, that's right.
But I wanted to share something with you. I had a couple things, but I don't know how much time you have. My Auntie Kathy and my great grandma, they died last year, about 4 months apart from each other. And remember, I'm still young.
Yeah.
I get into trouble, you know, here and there, like any other teenager, this and that. But I really believe that that my Auntie Kathy and my Grammy, they're like I think they're ghosts or something. They look out for me, dude. Like,
they're watching you, aren't they?
Yeah.
Keeping you going down the straight path.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean sometimes I'll wake up and I'll hear my Auntie Kathy's voice, or I'll see her, and like I'll just wake up and like I'll be dreaming about her. Like I was listening to the lady a few nights ago. I've been listening to a long time, but specifically the other night when
Marianne was guest, on. Yeah.
Yeah, when she was on, she was talking something about the people that were calling in. She was like saying, oh yeah, there's a spirit, this and that, he could have came with you, so and so. But at that time I felt this really, really weird feeling, like almost an eerie feeling. It wasn't bad, but it was in a good way. And I think it was a way of my aunt telling me, like, yeah, like I'm here, like something. And I don't know. I have crazy experiences with that. And
do you still feel their presence with you all the time?
Oh, every day, sir. And I have one more thing I wanted to share with you. I think you'll think it's even more interesting than that. Ever since I was about 3 years old, well, first of all, when I was born, my dad, he said that he's seen like my aura around me. I'm really into like the paranormal and like astral projection. I can do it at will, but I'm saying ever since I was about 3 or 4 years old, I've been having like encounters. You know, like UFOs. I see UFOs every single day. Me and my little brothers, we sit on my porch every single day and every single night. We observe these things, and I don't know what it is, but
do you think you may have been abducted?
I definitely think so. I have memories of. I have this one reoccurring dream. It's about like I'm in this white room, and whenever I have the dream, I have this certain taste in my mouth, and I've never tasted it in my life. It's this really weird taste, and it's this white light in this white room. It's really weird, but it happens. Really often. Like I'm kind of nervous, like talking to you, like about
it. You sound like you're a prime case for this, though. It sounds like this has been going on since you were a little kid.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I try not to talk to too many people about it. You know, I wanted to think I'm a kook, but here I am on Coast to Coast AM telling you my story.
Well, and let me tell you, you did a good job. Thanks. Ah, this is Engineer Eddie. Can we check your phone line?
Yeah.
I need to check these lines first before we put you back on with George. If that's okay?
Sure.
They're brand new lines, and I got to set the adjustment.
Okay.
I need you to first of all call just count like 1 to 5.
Call what?
Just count 1 to 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And that's good. Let me set this adjustment right there. All right. Now the next one is going to have a higher pitch, if you can, like bark like a dog.
That'll
right.
do it.
In the next one, I need a little higher pitch. I need you to cry.
Are you just making this up?
No, I got these. We got these new phone lines, and we're having one heck of a problem with them.
Okay. So,
you got to try that one more time. I didn't get that low. Okay, and the last one, and then I think I got this thing all set. I need you to sing some kind of song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Perfect. I'm set. I'm going to put you on hold. George will be right with you, I'm sure. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. The phone lines work good. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Carol.
Where are you calling from, Carol?
I know the time is limited, but every time I hear about a migraine, I have a surefire way of getting rid of them.
How do you get rid of migraines, Carol?
It's so perfect. For 20 years, I've never had one. When you get the aura, women get an aura a little longer where your hand feels numb and you feel flashing lights. Anyway, you hear blinking lights when you start to get the migraine?
Sure.
Men don't always get it, but if you stop at that point, I don't know if you can get it, if it works later, because I've never let it go later. You breathe simple into a brown bag, and it's just like hyperventilating. The first 5 minutes, you think, oh, this is not working, but, you know, because the aura keeps getting larger, at least with me, and then in the next 10 minutes, it's really big, and then it starts getting smaller and fading out. You know how it does? I don't know how it does with you, but...
And that works for you?
Headache. And then in 15 minutes, you're probably cured. In 20 minutes, you are really cured. You take the bag away. You know, you breathe in the bag till you become... you know, you need breath, and it works every single time. You don't have that pain in your head the next day that feels you got hit with a hammer. You do not. You up and can run around. You're done, and you don't get the pain the next day. And nobody ever has a brown paper bag because you got to make sure it goes in and out. So I just use a plastic Ziploc. But then you know when you get a little stuffy, you pull it off and get a little air. But it don't.
Well, you know, you don't put it around your head.
It's in your mouth, just like you do if you're hyperventilating.
All right.
Your nose and your mouth, and you breathe into it.
Some people are doing Botox treatments now, Carol, for migraines. Did you know that?
Just grab a bag, and just a Ziploc will do it. But a Ziploc doesn't go through. The air doesn't go through, so you have to take it off and get a little air. But it works every single time. It's just a miracle.
How many migraines did you get before you did this, before you stumbled into this thing?
You had a horrible headache and had to go to bed for a whole day and had the horrible pain the next day, you know, like, you know, 30 years ago. And about 20 years ago, I discovered this. My husband is a doctor in emergency room, and it's so perfect. It cures it every single time.
Okay, great. Well, let's see. Maybe that'll work.
Try it because you got nothing to lose. And if you can't find a brown paper bag, just use a Ziploc, you know, a large Ziploc. And then when it gets too stuffy in there, put a little air in. But I mean, I discovered that I'm a sire. You know, I go, ah.
All right, got to run, Carol. Got to run. We'll be back in a moment with final calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM, of course, one of the few syndicated shows that continues 7 nights a week. And even early feeds for you. We've got Ian Punnett this weekend, so make sure you're listening to your favorite station for Coast to Coast AM. Here we go in the wee hours. First time caller line. Thanks for holding.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. I just called in to first tell you what happened to me at first, and then I got a question right after that, and I'm hoping
okay.
that you can answer it.
I'll do the best I can.
All right. Well, when I was about, I would say, 6 or 7 years old, I was born and raised in, I guess you'd say, the backwoods of North Carolina, up All in right. the Blue Ridge Mountains. And, I decided to go out and play one morning. My parents were still asleep, so I got myself ready and everything, and I was going to go out the back door. Well, as I was heading to the back door, I stopped at the back door for some strange reason. I don't know why. And I started staring at the doorknob. And, well, our back porch was totally fenced in and everything. It had the screens up and everything, and we always
Sure.
kept the screen door locked. That way nobody can get in. So I'm sitting there staring at this doorknob, and it seemed like I was staring at it for a really good long time, maybe like 30 minutes. I ain't for sure. But as I'm sitting here staring at this doorknob, all of a sudden the doorknob just turns all by itself. I don't reach up. I don't grab it. Yeah, nothing. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and it startled me when I seen it turn, because it just didn't turn and then go back. But it turned, and it was staying turned, you know? And I'm sitting there looking at it, and when it startled me, it popped back into place. Well, after that and everything, you know, I was, like I said, I was young, and I ran into my parents' bedroom, woke them up, you know, screaming and hollering. So, you know, and I have been reading a little bit on, like, ESP.
Mm-hmm.
And here recently and everything, you know, I mean, ever since that happened, I have actually tried to move stuff just by staring at it. I guess you can say with, like, my mind or whatever, and it's not happening.
Telekinesis, mind over matter.
Right. And I am wondering how come, since I was little, if that's truly the reason why that doorknob moved, how come I can't do it now since I'm older?
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, when kids grow up, they lose a lot of these abilities.
Really?
Oh, they do. For some reason, we put blocks on ourselves as we get older. And, you know, from people who say, you know, that's not true, that can't happen, you know, by covering ourselves with some negativity, you lose those things.
Oh, okay.
But I hope it was you that turned that doorknob and not some creature on the other side.
Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah, I'm sticking with the telekinesis thing here because I don't want to think about nothing else. So, yeah. But thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go east of the Rockies. Go ahead. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hi, this is The Rock.
Hey, The Rock.
Wonderful show. Keeps me going. I have everything wrong with me. I'm terminal. I'm totally blind. And the only thing that works is my mouth and my ears. So your show helps keep me going. I've died about 7 times so far. They keep bringing me back, and I keep telling my wife, just tell them, you know, next time don't do such a good job.
You're a fighter, Rock. I'll tell you. How old are you?
I'm 60.
Okay, that's young.
I've been fighting now like this for about 10 years. I can't walk. I can't grab anything. I have done a bunch of amputations on my legs. But I don't want to go into that. I don't want to waste that time. I've got 4 items that I wanted to share with you and the listeners. I'm in San Antonio, Texas. When I first turned on the show tonight, I turned it on late, and I have apparatus that's holding the phone for me, so excuse me if I don't sound good.
No, you're fine.
And I heard something about blind people. Well, I want to tell you and the listeners, there is a man in San Antonio, I forget his name, but he went, when he was a teenager, he came down from up north by himself, went all the way to Mexico City by himself, and started a new life. Didn't even speak Spanish. I forget his name. I think it's John. Last name is Johnson. I found out about him through a blind club when I could still go to the blind club. I can't go anymore. He's written a book. I think you can get it as a book or as a CD. It's called Mexico by Touch. He learned Spanish. He married a woman down there. He had a business, I believe. And now he's retired up to San Antonio. And he goes to the blind club. There's another man in the blind club. This might be the Johnson. I get them mixed up. He was blind from birth. He went to St. Mary's Law School. He is a full-fledged lawyer.
Jeez.
So blind people can do a lot. The second thing I was going to tell you about, there's about 4 items. Second thing, I'm going to try to be brief. When I was a young man in the service, a friend of mine and I went in my beautiful new Renault R10. It was a beautiful little car. We went to a place called Canyon Lake, which has a very large dam for this area. On the way to look at the dam, on the road there was a dead deer. And there was the largest buzzard that I ever saw. His head came about the top of the little Renault that I had. And so being young, we wanted to razz the buzzard, so we went up to the dead deer with the car and started pushing it with the car and beating the horn. Well, the buzzard moved away, then he flew off. So we laughed about it. We backed up and continued down the road. We were looking up at the dam, which is real high, and we see this buzzard flying up there. And all of a sudden, he's coming towards the car. And he's coming and coming, and my friend says, he's going to hit the car. I said, no, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't be that stupid. Yeah, he's going to hit the car. So finally, make a long story short, he hit the car. He hit my Renault. His wingspan was much larger than the width of the Renault, the buzzard. He hit the car. He broke my windshield.
Oh, yeah.
Tore my windshield wiper off.
Animal collisions with vehicles are incredible. Have you ever seen a car after someone hit a deer?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My father-in-law hit a deer.
Destroyed.
A deer hunter. The other things I wanted to share with you were when I was about eight years old, for a year, I had this terrible, terrible dream. In the dream, I had my two-year-old sister in my arms, and she was dead. I knew she was dead. And I'm crying, and I'm having a fit. Why does my sister die? Why does my little sister die? You know, take me, Lord. Well, don't take my sister. And I'm crying, crying. The next thing I know, I'm in little kid, 8 years old, in a military uniform. And I'm on the corner where I live. And I'm fighting these people with a machine gun. I'm shooting. They keep coming. They keep dying. And they crawl over the dead bodies to come at me. And I'm screaming and hollering, Mom, Dad, somebody help me, help me. I'm running out of bullets. I'm all by myself. These people, I don't recognize these people because I grew up in Little Italy.
Right,
we only
right.
knew Italians.
Were they wearing uniforms?
And yes, these people were wearing some type of uniform, and they had faces I couldn't recognize. Like they had slanty eyes, and they had faces that I couldn't recognize. Because I only knew Italian people. I had never even met a black person yet.
Yeah.
And so life goes on, life goes on. Now I'm 60 years old. My little sister died before I did. She got a strange form of cancer. My mother and father dead. Every aunt and uncle I have are dead. I have no blood relatives on either side. A lady told me that 10 years ago, you are the last of your kind. I told this dream to my wife, and many years ago, and I only shared it with three people, and they said maybe that you're going to be the last of your kind. When I go,
that's
the end of the family.
That is it.
Yes. Now the last thing I wanted to share with you and the listeners, my father worked for General Patton during the war. He was one tough hombre, and
yep.
he could knock a man down with one blow. He was the most honest man I ever met. He worked for General Patton, and during his time with General Patton, he met some of the Jews that were let out of concentration camps. They were just let out. They had nothing to go to, nothing to do. My father and the people in his tank stopped, and these people were naked. So they got this one boy that they just almost fell in love with. They gave him candy and everything. He was naked, so my father took the flag, the American flag, off the tank and covered him with the American flag and said, son, this flag not only covers you, you go to America and you'll be free. So then, this is not over. Then my father, when the war is over, he comes home on a boat.
Okay.
And you know how many days it took to come home on the boat?
Yep.
Well, they made him an MP. When he got on, you just said, you got MP duty, you're going to be with the sick folks and watch them, especially the ones that were shell-shocked. Honest to God, my father never lied. My father never believed in UFOs or anything like that. My father told me when I was a boy, he said, when you're around people that lose their mind, be very, very careful. Because he said they had one man in there in the shell shock that was pitching fits, and they were thinking about tying him down. And just before they tied him down, my father said they went towards him, and he said, I've never seen anything in my life like that. I've never seen anything since. The man's face completely changed to a different man. And my father said he proceeded to pick my father and other guards up and throw them across the room.
Jeez, he shapeshifted like that. That's incredible. All those stories were incredible. And you, K keep fighting. You're only 60 years old. You still got a long way to go. First time caller line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Is that me?
It is me.
Happy birthday, we love you. Happy birthday, and may all your dreams come true. When you blow out candles, one light will stay aglow. It's the love light in your eyes wherever you go. Happy birthday, George.
Well, thank you. That was very sweet of you.
I'll tell you the story the next time.
All right.
Okay.
Very good. You sing well.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You... That was very nice. You too. West of the Rockies. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
You know, this week, oil closed at $139 a barrel.
And they say it's going to go to $150 by the 4th of July. Can you believe that?
And that's a 10% increase in price in just 5 days.
Yep.
But America's economy has not changed even 0.1% in the last week. So obviously, that eliminates the Milton Friedman economic model as an explanation, the model that we are constantly told we are participating in. And that being the case, why doesn't the president, that would be Bush, have a special address to the nation to explain specifically why this is happening, what Americans can do, and what he plans to do about it, and why it is necessary to act now? Because consumers, business, and even government itself cannot continue to absorb this price shock.
Well, that would show leadership, wouldn't it?
But Bush will do nothing as gas gets to 9/11. Why? Because he did nothing the last 9/11. He's not going to do anything when gas gets to 9/11. So I guess that leaves us on our own to fend for ourselves. But, you know, you had a caller earlier today that said, you know, he was talking about he was in the forest and one of his women friends came over and said she saw the devil and he said, tell him hell is real. Remember that?
Yeah.
And on second thought, I think I'll tell them myself, you know?
Maybe some, you know, in some cases, hell is right now for a lot of people, a lot of people. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we must continue to do what we do as a group on this program, because that is our solitude. It's our refuge to get together. And somebody was telling me at lunch today, he said, you know what? I've listened to a lot of shows, and he said, Coast to Coast is so unique because it is truly one of the few voices of the people. And, you know, I know some of you send me an email going, you know, you bashed this and that. No, all I want for you is the truth. That's the bottom line. That's all I want. And I don't care what political party it comes from. I don't care how it gets to us. I just want the truth. And if we're getting the short end of the stick, it's our job to find out why and to let all of you know. And that's it. I mean, I don't hate anybody, but I just want the truth, and you should too. Well, I'm going to be on a plane tomorrow. I'm going to be heading toward Los Angeles. So I'll be back in the City of Angels on Monday, and we've got another great week of shows for you. But scheduled is William Shatner on Thursday. I'm looking forward to this. Captain Kirk. I don't know how long he'll be on the program. I'd like him for at least 2 hours, an hour with me and an hour with you to take phone calls. So we'll work on that. But I do think at least we'll get him for the first hour or so. And then that'll be a classic show, I'm sure. Now, in just a second, we're going to give you our very favorite Friday night goodbye. But I also wanted to thank everybody in St. Louis who has been so gracious on my very short trip here. It was an interesting one where I came for a wedding, saw my kids on my birthday, and a friend of mine dies in a motorcycle accident. My, oh, my. For you, Robert Jason Johnson, I know you're listening tonight. Take care.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew There were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. See the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Kara Scoburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.